Now, did you know that over 100 million days are lost every year to stress? 100 million days every year lost to stress, whether it's the newest recruit through to the CEO. Work-related stress is now the number one cause of sickness in the UK. Back in 1850, I'm told that the average person slept 9.5 hours a night. Today, you're lucky if you get 7 hours, and it's sometimes less. Now, when this report came out, Mary McLeod, she's CEO of the National Family and Parenting Institute, she says that parents in the UK are working the longest hours in Europe. And I quote, "This is putting serious strain on family life in the UK." So just from these headlines, we see that as a culture, we are overworked, overtired, stressed out. And what makes it slightly worse is that it seems very much that we feel trapped and can't do much about it. So one lawyer, when asked about this, responded like this: "I have never been a person who can just take time off without feeling wrong or guilty. So I work 70 hours or more a week, and you know what? It's killing me." It's killing him. It's tragic. Now, I'm not sure if that describes all of us here or one or two of us here. It could be there are some here, you know, you just bounce out of bed every morning and you're fresh as a daisy and stress-free and you're raring to go and carpe diem. But chances are, for most of us, you know, we do feel some of this pressure. The long hours, not enough sleep, looming deadlines. It is frenetic, is it not, here in London? Now, work can be stressful. And that's why these verses from the Bible that Neil read out to us, these verses are so precious to us. Because in them, the one who made us, the one who knows how we tick, the one who knows what's best for us, he gives us his rhythm for work. God's rhythm for work. If God is our creator, of course he knows how much we need to work, how much we need to rest, and marvelously he has revealed it to us here. Now, the first thing for us to see is that actually God does want us to work. It's a good thing. We're made for it. Have a look at verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now, the context of these verses is the Ten Commandments. So here is God giving his people his law under the Old Covenant. And very clearly we can see how important work is, because 6 days you shall work. So not Monday to Friday, it's Monday to Saturday. 6 days you shall labor, 6 days you shall do all your work, in the office, at home, wherever it may be. So the first thing to see is that God does want us to work. He wants us to work hard. It is a good thing. Not everyone realizes this. So in a column for Time magazine, this is a while back, Lance Morrow wrote about work. And here's the quote. He says, "God was condemning Adam and Eve to go to work. From the beginning, the Lord's word said that work was something bad. It was a punishment. The great stone of mortality and toil laid upon a human spirit that might otherwise soar in the infinite weightless faithfulness of grace." Now, I'm not sure if for you work can sometimes feel like that. Bad, a punishment, a great stone. But it is absolutely not true that work is inherently bad. So if we were to go back to Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 2, we would read of God making Adam and putting him in the Garden of Eden to work it and cultivate it and to enjoy it. He brought the animals to Adam to name them. The garden to work it, to care it. It was originally, it was an incredible blessing to work. Just as God worked 6 days creating the world, so we, his created beings, are to work 6 days in the world. It's a good thing. It's something we're made for. Which is not to say that things have gone seriously wrong post-fall, post-Genesis 3. Adam and Eve do turn their back on God. It is exceedingly serious. It has repercussions across the whole world. By the sweat of the brow, he will toil the land. That is why work is stressful now. But don't forget that originally, God's original design, work is good. And we'll be working in the new creation as well. It'll just be perfect then.
Are you a lawyer? God loves justice. Are you an accountant? God loves order. Are you in the media? God loves a great story. He's written the best one of all. Are you in the medical profession? Doctor, nurse? God is a compassionate God. Are you a banker? Can't really think of it. No, there you go. Okay. I was a banker, you remember. Work is a good thing. Whether that work is in the office, whether that work is the work of parenting, whether that work is spreading the good news of Jesus Christ post-fall and his message of salvation, it is a good thing. It's something we're made for. It's part of being human. What God commands to work, it's good. Now, I hope that's an encouragement if you have a particularly negative view of work as you come in this afternoon. It could be you think, you know, your work is pretty trivial, it isn't very important. God says, yes, it is. He does care about what you're doing. If he's commanded this work, it is a good thing. Be encouraged. And if you're more restaholic than workaholic, if you find that, you know, you're living for the weekend, if you're longing for retirement, it could be that these verses, you know, actually come as a bit of a challenge to you. God is saying, you know, it's not all that bad. He wants you to have a bigger vision for your work, patterned after God, inherent worth to it, what you're made for. So if you are tempted to cut corners at work, get by with the bare minimum, I don't know, call in sick tomorrow to watch Andy Murray, here is a reminder. God wants us to work hard, to not be lazy. Okay, that's the first thing from the verses. God wants us to work, but also God does want us to rest. And that is actually the focus of these verses. Remembering to rest. Have a look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath. Don't forget it. It's important. Remember it, keep it holy. That word holy means set apart. Set apart for God. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. One day for him. One day a week focused on him. So in other words, you know, when we think of rest, actually we shouldn't be thinking about just putting our feet up, recharging the physical batteries, just taking time off. I mean, that is part of it, but rest here fundamentally is a spiritual rest. It's a rest with God. It's a rest in him. One commentator puts it like this: the Sabbath was given so that we may share in God's rest, to renew wasted strength in him, to find ourselves in fellowship with God. And that is why ultimately the answer to overworkedness and stressed out lives, it's never going to be found merely in time off, you know, to ourselves. It's not going to be merely found in holidays or sleeping pills or psychotherapy, going to the gym, whatever you choose to do to rest. That may help temporarily, but as you all know, after holiday, Monday morning, it's all back going again. It's not permanent. And that's because the heart of the issue is our relationship with God, our fellowship with God, our finding our rest all the time in him. Now, I'm not sure if that makes sense or not, but think about it for a moment. What is it that drives the long hours culture in the UK? What drives the temptation for you? For some, it might be a need for success, and you know, I get a lot of identity worth from my job and who I am. Could be a desire for more money, to buy more things, more gadgets, a bigger house, I don't know. Could be a fear for your boss and your career and what others may think. Now, if that is what is driving your hours, the long hours, and it could be other things, what we need, therefore, is not more time off. That ultimately won't help. What we need is to be liberated from this sort of thinking. Wrong sort of thinking. Something only the gospel can do. Something only God can do, which is why we need time with him. Because if you think about it, I mean, this is what it's like for me. As I try and spend time with the Lord in his word and his prayer, you're reminded that, actually, of course, life is about him. The one who's made us. The one who's loved us. But fundamentally, our identity is being made by him, in the image of him, and if we're following him as a child of God, redeemed by him. Not that we're a banker, lawyer, accountant. You spend the time with God in word and prayer, your heart's moved, you're reminded your ultimate desire is not money and gadgets and things of this world, but the giver behind them, the Lord God, to be known and loved by him. And if we know what God thinks of us in Christ, who cares what our boss and others think about us? The gospel of Jesus, it liberates us from the pressures which keep us working so hard and moving us to be overstressed and overworked and overtired. The focus here in Exodus is on God being creator, but you'll know there's another command for the Sabbath in Deuteronomy, and there it's about God rescuing his people from slavery. So this is the Sabbath in a nutshell, remembering God as creator, God as saviour, finding our rest in him. And that's why in verse 10, everyone is commanded to do it, to keep this rest. Look at verse 10, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your... None of you should do work on this day. All of you should rest. We all desperately need it. Rest in him. And marvellously, that is something that Jesus Christ offers to all of us today. Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The God of the Bible, he's a God of rest. We see him here resting himself on the seventh day, and ultimately we see it in the Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly at rest in his Father's will, and offering that rest to all people because Jesus himself has died for all people. At the heart of Christianity, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, taking upon himself our weariness, our burden, ultimately of sin, taking the yoke of sin upon himself so we can be liberated from it. Jesus Christ pours out his soul for us so we can find rest for our souls. And if you want this rest, Jesus Christ says to you today, come to me. Know my love, my forgiveness, my rest. And if you've already done that, Jesus says, keep doing it. Are you feeling stressed? Cast your anxieties on him because he can carry them. Are you feeling overtired? Let him renew your strength. He's got the power. Are you overworked? Talk to him about it. He can liberate you from that sort of thinking. It is fantastic. God does want us to work for him, but he also wants us to rest in him. Okay, very practically then, how do we maintain this rhythm of work and rest in the busy pace of London life? And, well, obviously with God's help. What I mean by that is, you know, this is to God's Israelite people, and this is the Old Covenant. You know, as Christians, are we literally meant to keep that one 24-hour day off each week and in the frenetic pace of London life? Now, Christians differ on this. You'll have to weigh up what I say with Scripture yourself. I would say that as a Christian, we are no longer under the Mosaic Law, Romans 6, 14, if you want to look up the verse. And Colossians chapter 2 speaks of the Sabbath as being a shadow of the things to come. That reality found in Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he came to earth, he said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one who's kept the Sabbath for us. Rest is found in him. And so now we have to come by faith in him. So no, we don't have to keep a literal 24-hour, one day a week. But here's the thing, why wouldn't you if you could? If this great offer that Jesus is holding out to us is rest, if you know the joy of following Jesus, surely you want to be doing this all the time. Think of some of the New Testament commands. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus all the time. Hebrews 12:2. Pray at all times, Ephesians 6. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, Hebrews 4. Do not be anxious about anything, Philippians 4. Now, God doesn't want us going around stressed out like those energizer bunnies just about to keel over at any time. He wants us to have his rhythm for work. Working hard, yes, but resting in him. And this is something we want to be doing every day. Not just Sunday, but Monday through Sunday. Now, I think we can be creative about this. Obviously, people will be recommending quiet times with the Lord each morning or evening, whoever works with you. Setting aside, you know, Sundays for church. Certainly, if we have two-day weekends, we shouldn't have a problem with that. But obviously, sometimes we're going to be busy. We might have to work all-nighters, full weekends. But what we want to be doing is setting aside regular time, which we know will be just between us and the Lord, that we can hear from him in his word, talk to him in prayer, have our strength renewed, have our spiritual bearings put back in right as the one who made us and the one who has died for us. And by the way, that's not to play down physical rest. You know, if that stat at the beginning is right, that we are only sleeping 7 hours a night on average, and we're meant to have 8 or 8.5 or whatever, it's 9, and we're going to need some catch up. When I was a trader, I had to get up at 4:45 to get the book off Australia, and I tell you, by Friday night, I just collapsed and probably slept for 12 hours. So, I mean, obviously we're going to need some physical rest, and you'll have to find the time to do that. Although if you're a parent with young children, that gets even harder. So do take physical rest, but the thing that's very challenging here is to see that true rest is a spiritual one. And it is only the Lord God who ultimately can refresh our bodies and our souls. And I think finally, if all this sounds just a little bit too idealistic and impossible, given how busy life in London is, then may I suggest that you could just be too busy. It's been said that God does not give us more to do in a day than we can actually do. God's grace is sufficient. And so if you're just feeling up the eyeballs, and totally overwhelmed, the problem may not be coming from God, it may be coming from you, and you can trust God with what he's saying here. You can trust that he knows best, this is his rhythm for work, and knowing that can help us to say no to our boss, or to our friends, or to our parents, or wherever that pressure's coming from. So God does want us to work, he does also want us to rest, and let me pray that for us now. Let's pray. Father God, life in London is very busy, it is very frenetic, and we do need your help. And we thank you so much for this pattern that we find in Exodus, this 6 days work, this 1 day rest. And we know that points forward to Jesus and this offer of rest every day. And so I pray, Father God, that by your Spirit you would help us to be setting aside that time with you each day, once a week, or however it is, that maybe be sustained both physically and spiritually to live for you and work for you, and live the lives that you intend us to live. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.